Welcome to Thrive Diaries, the podcast for busy people who want to live their best life. I'm your host, Liz Douglas, former food buyer turned plant-based foodie influencer who is obsessed with personal growth and wellness. Thank you for being here and let's get into today's episode.
Hello, it's Liz. How are you? Welcome back to the Thrive Diaries podcast. I'm feeling very sheepish and I have to apologize recording this episode because I haven't released a podcast since May 29. I'm staring at my podcast hosting platform in front of me and that was the last episode release date. And I never concluded season two of the podcast properly. So consider this a finale to season two and a bit of a catch-up episode and maybe an indication of what to expect in season three of the podcast. I found that it was quite easy. Actually, I shouldn't say it was easy. It was challenging but manageable when my son Oliver was younger. After he was born, I still had a little bit of time when he was quite sleepy and quiet and it was easy to record podcast episodes. But as he gets older, he's now 16 weeks as I'm recording this, it is harder and harder to find time when it's not going to be interrupted basically by a small noisy person. It's amazing being a mum, but it definitely forces you to prioritize your time and sometimes things do kind of slip through the cracks a little. So lesson for me going into season three of the podcast or any content creation, particularly long form content creation like this, is that I need more of a buffer, but it's always trying to strike a balance. I suppose for the content creators out there who are listening, you will know what I mean, but you sort of don't want to make content too far in advance. I've done that before where I batched a lot of podcast episodes when I first started the podcast and then released them over like months and months. And you sort of begin to feel a bit disconnected from the content and it's not really fresh in your mind. So when you go to release the episode, you're not promoting it as much because you don't feel as connected to it. And I know that podcasts in particular are quite evergreen in the sense that, you know, you can listen to an interview from a year ago and it could still be just as inspiring and as interesting as one recorded today. But not all content is like that, particularly personal updates and things like that. And solo episodes in particular, I think the more recent they are, maybe the more engaging they are. So it's kind of trying to strike a balance of getting a little bit ahead on recording so that you can be consistent and have content going out every single week or whatever cycle, you know, you're on as a content creator, and also keeping it contemporary and fresh in your mind. So something I'm still trying to find the right balance on. So thank you for bearing with me. And hopefully in the next season, there won't be a 6 week gap between episodes. But anyway, today's episode, I thought I would just give you a little bit of a life catch up, what's been going on and how I'm finding being a new mum. So on the mum front, everything changes day to day, I find, and how I feel about being a parent and how well I'm coping really depends a lot on how much sleep I've had. It's amazing being a mum and I love Ollie, like my son, so much. He's 16 weeks now and it's so cool watching him grow and learn, and you see all of these little behaviors that babies do where you realize that it's not a learned behavior but a natural behavior, and so you get all these like glimpses into humans, I guess, and how we grow and develop. Things like, you know, rubbing his eyes when he's tired or pouting when he's sad, and his little expressions and looks of recognition and pure joy when he's laughing or being bounced around and, you know, thrown in the air, not thrown, but, you know, lifted into the air. And there's something so pure about children's emotions that you realize as you become an adult. I don't know if it's just that we're masking our emotions more or we're not as in tune with them or we're afraid to express them, but it's so cool seeing a little person be totally themselves and authentic, and you get this like fresh perspective on life a little bit because everything that they are experiencing is something new to them. Even, you know, it was Steve's birthday the other day and we opened the wrapping, we opened the presents and the wrapping paper was crunchy and Oliver just thought that was hilarious. So we were all sitting in bed and he was just hysterically laughing at us scrunching up the wrapping paper. And just little moments like that, that are so mundane, become so special when you see it through their eyes. And one thing I also didn't expect, well, I suppose I just didn't think about it, was how strong the bond is between you and your baby, like it continues to grow and grow, at least it has for me. I initially did feel like a very strong sense of needing to protect him when he was a newborn, particularly when he was sick. And I didn't know, though, that the love that you feel for them and the sense of connection and family and actually understanding, like, in your soul that this is your baby that you are holding. It's not just a random baby. Like, this is your child. It's kind of hard to get your head around at first. And so after a few months, that's really started to sink in and it feels really nice. And both Steve and I are definitely feeling so much more confident as well. At the start, it was just such a big learning curve for us because we weren't really baby people. I was never one of those people who would go into a room and, you know, if there was a baby, I wouldn't rush over or anything like that. I always felt a bit uncomfortable holding children, just worried that I was going to hurt them or that they weren't going to like me or they would cry or I don't know. I just never felt that comfortable with them. So, and Steve was a bit the same, although he was probably maybe more comfortable than I was, I would say, with kids. And yeah, it's just been a really steep learning curve, but we're in that place now where nearly 4 months in, where we're both feeling a lot more confident that we know Oliver's cues and what he needs. And most of the time, to be honest, it's pretty simple. He's either hungry or he's tired and needs to sleep. And most of the time, it's the sleep thing that'll be causing him to be grumpy and grizzly and tired. And having that confidence rather than constantly questioning yourself and listening to everybody's opinion, whether it's the, you know, well-meaning maternal child health nurse or, you know, a family member or a friend, anybody really, you can just say, okay, thanks, and move on because you know what is best for your baby. And it's like, it's not that we're an expert in all baby needs or that we know every single thing. Like sometimes we can't figure it out either, but we definitely just feel a lot more self-assured, I think. And that's a really nice feeling because there's so much uncertainty at the beginning and you feel very unsettled, or at least we did anyway. In terms of an identity shift about being a mother, like a lot of people talk about this as they view themselves as totally different. I don't really feel that way. I think I'm still processing it, and maybe as time goes on, I'll give you more reviews on how motherhood is going, but I don't really feel that different. I honestly feel pretty much the same, just with a baby. The only difference would be maybe that I take things a little less seriously, but also more seriously in my life. And I mean that in terms of what I'm doing with my business, with social media, content creation, because I love the idea of making my social media like my full-time business, right? I'm currently on maternity leave from an awesome job, lovely colleagues, but I have always wanted to work for myself. And this is my real passion. And it's an intersection of creating recipes that are good for the planet, are good for people, good for the animals, and also being creative. And it's just something that I've always wanted to do. And I've always looked for business opportunities because I love the idea of being, you know, I guess, master of my own destiny. You know, I hate that expression. It's quite cheesy, but you know what I mean? And having the freedom of working for myself. So this feels like an amazing fit and an incredible opportunity that I have to transition into that. But where was I going with this? Oh my God, sorry. Baby brain is very real for me as well. Oh, that's right. Identity shift, right. So on the one hand, I take things way more seriously now that I have a kid because I'm like, well, if I really want to have, you know, a successful business online, if I want to have flexibility and work for myself, and these are all of my goals, what am I doing? Like, I have to step things up a notch, take things up a notch. Sorry, baby brain. I have to really take that seriously now. I can't just muck around and play small anymore because I don't have time to do that. I have a little person that I need to support. And, you know, of course, Steve is working. He can support us both, but I don't want to be dependent on somebody else. I want to earn my own money and I want to have my dream career, I suppose. So it's really pushing me to go outside my comfort zone a little more and to put myself out there in ways that I wouldn't have done before, in ways where I feel kind of vulnerable, a little silly almost. But I just think that I don't have time anymore to procrastinate, to have self-doubt. I just have to put myself out there and go after these goals that I have. However, on the other hand, I also am not taking life too seriously in the sense that I've realized that there are so many things that are totally outside of your control. And once you have a child, that really is driven home, because throughout the pregnancy, you don't really know whether your child is going to have any disabilities. You don't know if your child is going to have to be in hospital for a period after birth. You don't know what their personality is going to be. You don't know whether they're going to be a boy or a girl. I mean, you can find all of these things out, but I mean, you have no control over this. This is nature, right? And you just don't know what your life's going to be like until you kind of take that chance and go ahead and make another person. So you have to roll with the punches a little bit. And I think you can't get too stuck on things being a particular way. Like, I've found on days when I'm really pushing to do something, or I've really got it in my head that I have to do this thing now, and I'm getting a bit stressy and a bit cagey about it, that's when Oliver picks up on that vibe a little bit, I would say. He's generally a pretty placid baby, but I think that's when things feel tense and feel hard and feel like incompatible with career and baby. When you are a bit more relaxed about things, I feel like things do happen. Like, I have to be in this constant state of like action, 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 like do in order for anything to get done. But I can't be too hung up on things getting done exactly in the time frame, exactly how I want them. And, you know, the house is a total mess. There's like lots of things that I've had to let go. Before, I used to be a total neat freak, especially when it came to clutter. I just hated visual clutter around the house. But there are things like that which you just have to let go. And trying to just not take things too seriously anymore, like letting go of control a little bit and not getting too bogged down in like the sense of responsibility. Because I think Steve and I both were feeling a bit down in the dumps for a few weeks there, just from the exhaustion and the relentlessness of looking after a child, because it's just constant. Like, the feed cycle is every 3 to 4 hours, and you're just constantly in this like mode of like working and semi-sleep deprived, and it just feels like your life's going to be this way forever and you're never going to have any time to yourself. And you start thinking about all the ways in which your life has changed, and you can feel quite down. But when you step back and laugh at it a little and almost just don't take it too seriously as well, then it feels easier. So I literally started playing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life by Monty Python, because Steve and I were like two dark clouds sort of wandering around the house in a sleep deprived haze for a few weeks there. And I honestly think that song just captures what I'm trying to say here. It's just like, you've got to remember that life is short, you're gonna die, and you might as well enjoy yourself along the way and not take things too seriously. Because at the end of the day, we are all going to die. And I think there's one line in the song where it's like, just remember that the last laugh is on you, like when you die kind of thing. So anyway, those are the two very different perspectives that I'm holding at the same time after having a child. But I don't know that there are identity shifts as such, but there's certainly perspective shifts. So that's a little baby life update. And then in terms of behind the scenes content creation stuff, I've been in such an identity crisis lately, not on the baby front, but on branding for social media. So as you know, I changed the podcast from Vegan Diaries, which is my handle on all social media accounts. It was the name of my website as well. I'll get to that. It was called Vegan Diaries as well, and I changed it to Thrive Diaries this season because I just no longer felt like Vegan Diaries really captured what I was trying to achieve with the podcast. I loved initially platforming all of these amazing vegan content creators who I'd met along the way since I started my Instagram page and since I started creating recipes. But after a while, I felt the conversations, although everybody does have a unique perspective, they can become a little repetitive. And I just started to think that, what am I trying to say? I wanted to talk about topics that were more within my interest area, which is personal development and creative work and veganism. And I guess I just wanted to broaden the topics that were on the podcast and not have it so narrow, which I think worked for this platform, because unlike Instagram or, I don't know, TikTok, where you're more confined to a niche where people just want to come to you for one thing, I think a podcast is great because you can talk about a really broad range of topics without ostracizing people, because it's more just, you know, it's just a chat, really. It's not that structured. So I changed the name to Thrive Diaries. Didn't love the name Thrive Diaries. It just felt like the most appropriate word to capture the essence of what I was going for. And then Diaries obviously just being like a nod to my original name, which was Vegan Diaries. And also the reason I originally called the page Vegan Diaries was because it was more like I didn't want to pitch myself as an expert on the topic. I just wanted to present myself as a friend, somebody who's sharing their experience along the way, you know, chronicling it effectively and learning together, I suppose. So anyway, changed the name to Thrive Diaries. Felt like an okay fit, then realized halfway through this season that Arianna Huffington from the Huffington Post has a business called Thrive. And I think it's actually, it is in a similar sphere to what I'm doing, where it's about, you know, becoming the best you can be and personal development and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, okay, well, that's going to be a ceiling on whatever you do with this brand. If you want to call it Thrive Diaries, there's somebody out there who has a huge business in this space called Thrive. So that's not going to work. Anyway, I also started thinking more and more that I wanted to change the name of my social media handles and my website to something that was more generic as well, because although I'm still plant-based, I'm still vegan, I'm definitely less hardcore than I was when I first went vegan. I'm more like, this is how I want to live my life, and I don't really want to get into the ethical arguments for and against that often. I also just think that there's a limit to how appealing anything with the word vegan in it can be to people who are not vegan. So I obviously don't want to ostracize anybody who is vegan, because I know that this is so important. And if you have made that choice, then it's personally very important to you. But I just think to capture the widest audience possible, I would rather approach it as like, here's a really attractive lifestyle proposition where you can eat lots of vibrant, colorful plants and, you know, buy products that are not using animals, like non-leather clothing and bags and accessories. And, you know, you can go out to these amazing restaurants and, oh, by the way, it all happens to be plant-based. It happens to be vegan. And it's not the leading message, because I think sometimes when you go in with a really strong ethical argument, it puts people offside and it creates a further gap between where they were and where you want them to be in terms of, I guess, accepting or being more open to being vegan or eating more plant-based. So that's the angle that I'm going for. Anyway, long story short, I'm going to be rebranding, and I feel a little sad about leaving the word Vegan Diaries behind, because I feel like it's such an established brand now. But I'm at this point with my career where I'm like, okay, well, if you are going to potentially do this full time and you're not going to go back to your corporate role, then you need to make a call now on what you are doing with your personal brand. So the wording that I've come up with is Glow Diaries, and I am sort of in a similar position to this that I was with Thrive Diaries. I'm not overly like ecstatic about the name Glow Diaries, but I do like it more than Thrive Diaries. It feels more effortless. It feels more like a fusion between inner glow and like beauty and home and like sunshine and ease. Whereas Thrive Diaries felt quite forceful and like hustle culture and quite pushy. And I don't want to be like that. And I don't think that really captures what I'm trying to achieve. So I like the feeling of Glow Diaries. It does sound a bit like cosmetics and a bit like a beauty blog to me. But when you think of like inner health and inner glow, or I don't know, that kind of angle, I suppose you can see the connection. But that's what I'm actually going to be rebranding all of my social handles to. My website URL has changed. It redirects, if you type vegan-diaries.com in, it redirects now over to Glow Diaries, and it's glow-diaries.com. But I haven't actually made the announcement yet. I haven't changed the social handles or done any of that yet, because I'm just sitting with it for a little bit longer, because I have this like slight discomfort with the whole thing. But I also know that this is the right way to go if I want to grow and expand beyond just, I don't know, pitching myself as primarily a vegan person. I think what it is like, I want to have this multifaceted kind of resource center, which is all plant-based and is all anchored in vegan values, but isn't screaming vegan. So that's been playing on my mind a lot lately. And although it probably seems like a superficial change from the outside, it's quite a meaningful change for me mentally, I guess, is where I'm categorizing myself in this content creation sphere. And hopefully it'll attract some new people into the community who maybe aren't vegan, but who are open-minded to living in this way and who share the values of veganism. Because I do believe that even if you're not vegan necessarily, most people do actually have vegan values. They do want to help the environment. They don't want to see harm come to animals. It's just that they're maybe not living a vegan lifestyle yet. And so I want to be somebody who can just be an example. And again, the word diaries just show how easy it can be. I'm not an expert, 100% expert on anything. I'm probably reasonably proficient in vegan cooking, but I'm a friend who's showing somebody how they can make a plant-based lifestyle work for them, I guess. And then a couple of other little updates. So in terms of career and trying to grow things, and to my point earlier about taking things more seriously now, I am actually about to sign a book deal, which is very scary and very exciting. And I feel a bit nervous sharing it because the contract is not signed yet, but I'm also very confident that it's all going to go ahead. And yeah, it'll be due in April next year. So I have got, what have we got? Like maybe 8 months to get it done. So it's due on the 1st of April. And then I will have it released in April 2025, or rather the publisher, sorry, will release it in 2025, and it'll be available across Australia and potentially in the US as well. So it'll be in Australia. It'll be in like Kmart, Target, Big W, all the major retailers, which is just crazy. And I've negotiated to have my face on the cover as well. So you should be able to pick which one is mine as well, which is exciting. And yeah, it's going to be about 100 recipes. It can be a compilation of some existing recipes that I have, which is how I actually agreed to do the cookbook in the first place, because I was like, oh my God, 100 new recipes, like that would take me way more than, you know, 8 months or however long it is now to develop all of those. But the publisher's actually happy for me to use some of my most popular recipes from the website in the book. So it's going to be a mix of old and new, but it's all in an entirely new format and a physical format, which is super cool. So I'm very excited about that. And if you are open to doing any recipe testing, oh my God, I would be so grateful. I'll probably do a call out on stories on Instagram or maybe in a post in a couple of months' time, but I'm desperately going to need people to help me recipe test. And I would be so grateful if you could test a couple and give me your feedback on maybe the instructions or how it turned out, because everybody's, you know, stoves and cooking equipment and ovens are different. And sometimes I read something one way and maybe it's confusing to somebody else, or maybe it's difficult to find a particular ingredient, yada, yada, yada. Feedback is so important, because I'm just really conscious that once it's in print, you can't go back and edit it. Unlike a blog post where maybe it's like, oh, whoops, I accidentally left out the word mushrooms in the instructions. Somebody messaged me that the other day. And I was like, oops. And I just went back and changed it. And I'm like, no, it's a book, bitch. Like, you can't go back and edit it. You need to get this 100% perfect. So any help, if you're open to testing, I would absolutely be so grateful for. And then other behind the scenes stuff, I'm really craving long form content at the moment. I don't know if it's just that I've overconsumed short form video content on TikTok and Instagram. I'm just so discombobulated by all of the short form videos. I feel like my very short attention span is even shorter now after watching all of them. And I used to be obsessed with how fast they were and how, like, you know, it's all like dizzying almost, the number of like quick cuts that you have in all of these videos and how fast they move. But I'm sort of craving a longer form, slower paced content, almost like this podcast, but in video form. So I really want to do maybe a YouTube series, but I really don't know that much about YouTube. I'm going to be doing some research over the weekend, and well, not just over the weekend, over the coming weeks, to see what sort of content people make in the food space. I also may be doing a TV show, but that's a very, very big maybe. Like, I shouldn't really be talking about that one. I'm doing a screen test for it. And yeah, until I know more, I probably shouldn't say anything more, but that's pretty exciting. It would be something that would go to streaming, not free to air, but a plant-based TV show. So that's kind of cool. And yeah, anyway, I want to say more, but I can't really say any more at this point because it's such early days, but that one's kind of cool. Oh, and this one's not a content creation business update. This is a personal update. But if you've ever listened to this podcast, well, of course you have if you're listening to this update episode, you probably noticed that I talk pretty quickly. And then if you happen to listen to the episode with psychologist Steph Giorgio on ADHD, the whole episode I was like, I think I have ADHD. I think I have ADHD. Well, I do have ADHD. Unsurprisingly, I already knew that I had it. I just hadn't actually gone and got a formal diagnosis, but I officially got a diagnosis about a week ago, and or maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, and I feel a little bit of a relief around that because I'm like, oh good, that's the reason why I am the way I am, the way I had so many different bloody businesses and side hustles, and why I always, you know, have these entrepreneurial kind of leanings or tendencies, and you know why I'm creative and why I speak quickly and why I'm forgetful and why I lose everything and why I'm chronically late. And I just felt like it was nice to have that validation from a professional. I'm not medicated. I can't actually take anything because I'm breastfeeding Ollie at the moment, but potentially once I stop breastfeeding in a few months' time, I might look at getting some medication just to help me concentrate. But the thing that drove me to get the diagnosis actually was sleep. I've always had on and off insomnia since I was a teenager. It's really been an issue, but it really got worse and worse and worse throughout my 20s. And now that I have Ollie, I find it very hard to go back to sleep after doing feeds in the middle of the night. And I just was not coping very well during the day when I was so exhausted because it was so frustrating because he was asleep, but I couldn't sleep. Or sometimes I couldn't even fall asleep initially. And I was like, oh my God, this is your only chance to sleep. He's asleep. You have to fall asleep now. And the more pressure you put on yourself, obviously, it becomes harder and harder to fall asleep. So that wasn't working for me. But I have this diagnosis now. And hopefully if I do end up getting medication down the track, it will help with the sleep side of things as well as concentration and, you know, forgetfulness and things like that too. So I'm kind of curious to see how that goes. I wasn't going to really announce it on social media. I mean, it might come up eventually. It's not a secret. It's not even really private, but I just didn't want to make it my whole identity. Part of the reason I put off getting any diagnosis was because I felt like everybody was getting diagnosed, right? And that's not because I don't believe that people who are getting diagnosed don't have it. It just felt like this overwhelming, like the floodgates had opened. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, not everyone can have ADHD. So why do you think that you are more special than any of these other people? Like, why should you have ADHD when all of these symptoms sound pretty similar to struggles that most people face in their day-to-day life? And that talk sort of internal dialogue, I guess, put me off getting a diagnosis for a while. But yeah, when I was having all of these troubles with sleep, I was like, you know what, this is ridiculous. Like, you feel like you have ADHD, all of the symptoms resonate with you, you might as well go get a diagnosis, and then at least you have some options. And you have to wait a really long time to get a diagnosis too. So I signed up, and a few months later, I think it was 5 months later, I managed to actually get one. And it was a surprisingly pain-free diagnosis process for me, which is good because some people it's really tedious, there's lots of forms. But the psychiatrist that I saw actually just required me to describe my symptoms to her. It was just a chat for about an hour and a half, I think. And it was funny actually because I wrote all of the symptoms out on a big email to myself because I knew I was going to forget. And then when I was reading them all out to her in person, halfway through, she's like, sort of like starts to interrupt me a bit because I was like, oh, is it okay if I like read these out? And she's like, sure, please go ahead. And she's like, you can keep going if you want. And this was when she stopped me partway through. She's like, you can keep going if you want. She's like, but without a doubt, you have ADHD. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. And then I was just relieved at that point. But it was quite funny because she was like, yeah, there is no question. That was her word. So yeah, anyway, that feels kind of good to get that diagnosis. And I think I'm just rambling at this point. This does feel like a very ADHD episode in general, doesn't it? Those are all of my little updates for you at the moment. I'm sorry this is such a late episode. I'm sorry it's such a random episode. Consider it like a catch-up. I feel like I missed you. I feel like I haven't been a good friend because I haven't been releasing these podcast episodes consistently, and I want to apologize. But next season, I am committing to running at least 3 episodes ahead of schedule so this doesn't happen again. But I appreciate you listening. I'm really grateful for you to be in my world. Oh, one thing. If you are on Instagram, join Threads. It's this new app. It came out today or yesterday, and it is kind of interesting. It's sort of like a group chat. It feels a lot more personal than Instagram. And I think I have like 3,000 or 4,000 followers on there now, because when you join, all of your followers from Instagram transfer over. Oh, no, wait. When you join Threads, you can automatically follow all of the accounts you follow on Instagram. And that's how you end up getting followers on Threads. But it's basically like Meta's version of Twitter, but it feels more like a group chat than anything, to me at least. And it feels really authentic and genuine, and nobody knows what they're doing on there. And it's not this curated social media feed like other platforms are, you know, Instagram basically. So if you are on Instagram, join Threads and follow me, because that's kind of fun and can be a fun way to chat. And let me know what you think of this podcast episode, or maybe don't if you don't like it, because I know it's pretty random. Or, you know, respond to any of the threads that I put up there, or just, yeah, I guess I think you can like tag me and like at me if you want to chat. I don't know, but everyone, it's public. Everyone can see all of the chats and it's quite fun. So that could be a nice way to stay in touch in the meantime. I'm expecting season 3 will be out in like 2 to 3 months time. So maybe like September, I would say late September, early October. I want to do a series of interviews again, but I also like doing these solo episodes too that are a bit more freeform. Might do some with a little bit more structure for you rather than just these random, here's my life update kind of episodes, because I know they're super random and I want to make sure that I'm adding value as well. But I'll think of some more concrete topics and we'll do it in a more structured way. But yeah, that's it from me. I hope you have an awesome week. I'll be in touch soon. Follow me on Instagram and TikTok if you're not already. Stay in touch there. And yeah, I'll speak to you soon. Bye. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Thrive Diaries podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you could leave a star rating on Spotify or a written review on Apple Podcasts. And this is really the best way to support the show because it improves our ranking in the algorithm. If you'd like more updates, be sure to follow me over on Instagram at vegan_diaries_ on the end, or join my mailing list on my website, vegan-diaries.com. Thank you so much for being here, and I will speak to you soon.